AM and 100.9 FM. KWWN, Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
One hour down, two to go. Cofield and Company is Willie Ramirez along with Jeff Parles. And we got James, quarterback in the show, taking care of everything. He's kind of like the coach, the assistant coach, the special teams coordinator. He handles everything.
He's got to keep us in line, too.
Well, unlike the Raiders, we won't have to fire him mid-show. No ghetto bath. For those who need a reference on that, I said that the Raiders are in the middle of a ghetto bath. If you're not familiar with that, well, then Google it. For my old schoolers, you know what that means. And once again, midway through the season, the Raiders are ghetto bathing it. It is the 4 p.m. hour in Reno. We welcome you in, Reno and Southern Nevada, the Battleborn Hour, brought to you by the Battleborn Injury Lawyer, 766-1400, dial 775-766-1400 in the north. Your Battleborn Hour with Cofield and Company, brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Big 4-4, let's do it.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big 4 at 4, number 4.
All right, Jeff, UNLV Rebels are headed to Fort Collins as we speak. They're going to play the Colorado State Rams. And normally, about 3-4 weeks ago, I would say, hey, that trip is a gimme. But considering this defense and considering some of the disappointments that we've seen from this team, whether or not you expected them to lose in Boise, regardless if you expected a shootout against New Mexico, the bottom line is, with what we've seen with this team, is this a concerning trip?
I think every game is concerning right now with how the defense has played for three straight games. I mean, it's not like Air Force is explosive either, and Air Force put 48 on them, and UNLV was just able to outscore them in that game. You know, it's pretty funny. Yesterday on the show, we had Justin Michael from DNVR Sports,
my guy Justin,
who covers the Rams, and he basically made it out that the Rams are just playing out the string at this point. With obviously Norvell getting fired, they're on their third quarterback now. I don't like the phrase "gotta have a game" or anything like that. But if you're UNLV, you're playing a team that is just realistically is playing out the string. You got to go up there and you got to beat them up. It's only 4.5 on the spread. The total's 62. Colorado State got shut out the last time they were on the field against Wyoming. Look, this is a game UNLV's got to find a way to roll and find a way to hold Colorado State. How about, Willie, let's go under 24. Let's hold them under 24 points. Let's just gradual steps back to better defense from what we've seen.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, with the talk at the beginning of the season, can this team sneak back into the college football playoff conversation just by getting into the Mountain West Conference Championship? The bottom line is, I don't know if Boise State can get into the college football playoff, even if it runs the table and gets into the college football playoff, because right now they're on the outside looking in from any kind of conversation. And when I say they, I mean the Mountain West Conference as a whole. So yep. The bottom line is, even though they're bowl eligible, you're right, the Rebels have to look at these last four games as, hey, let's run the gamut. They're at Colorado State, then they host Utah State and Hawaii, and they finish the season up in Reno against Nevada. So four crucial games, UNLV at Colorado State, and you can hear it here on ESPN Radio. That game is tomorrow. Number three. All right, I was at T-Mobile Monday, doubleheader. Arizona, Florida, BYU, Villanova. College basketball is back, baby. I love college basketball. Now, here's the thing. I love women's college basketball. I could watch it all day. I love watching college basketball in person. If it's the men, I'll sit there, like, you know, to cover an event. The tournaments that come to town. There's a big one coming at the end of the month, the players era. So I'm really looking forward to it. A little upset that my girl Juju Watkins will not be playing. But Jazzy Davidson will be holding down, freshman at USC. I did a story on her this summer while she was in Czechia with the Team USA. She's a freshman at USC. But I was a little disappointed the other night. Not because Florida lost. Not because the second game was a stinker. But because 7'9", 305-pound center Olivier Roux did not get in the game for Florida. Of course, they were up against it playing Arizona. Last night, the world's tallest teenager became the tallest player in college basketball history. Now, have you seen this? Have you seen him? Have you seen the highlights? Anything?
Oh, yeah.
It means nothing until you see this guy in person. Lumbering and laboring to get up and down the court. Now, I'm not saying he's unathletic. I'm sure that's his own way. But, dude, it was like watching a cartoon character where the bigger cartoon is chasing somebody down the street or something. It was wild watching him in warmups. That is an amazing sight to see. 7'9", 305 pounds.
Well, you know, Willie, I'm going to take Chet Holmgren for a second. Well, remember Chet Holmgren, freshman year at Gonzaga, that came here to play at UCLA, and it was kind of like, whoa, this kid, like...
It
doesn't make, like, his body seems too big for what he is. Obviously, Holmgren has turned into a really good NBA player. He's only 7'1". Only 7'1".
And lanky.
And lanky. And this... And Rue is 7. I mean, Willie, I was on Cofield on Monday, so I wasn't there at T-Mobile like you were. But I would love to see Florida in person this year just to see what you saw, because
right.
I'm just intrigued of like how the mechanics work of a kid that, I mean, he's only 19 years old and he's 7'9".
Yeah,
like he might not be done growing either. That's the scary part of this too.
Yeah, so he owned a spot in the Guinness World Record book when he signed with Florida in 2024. He's 2 inches taller than former NBA Giants George Murasan and Manute Bol, 3 inches taller than popular big men Yao Ming, Taco Fall, and Sean Bradley.
Wow.
So he gets into the game because they're obviously up on the North Florida Ospreys. And he did get in there. I was there to watch Arizona put it on Florida, and that was an exciting game. So, like I said, college basketball well underway. UNLV Rebels with a clunker the other night. UNLV Lady Rebels have opened up with a win. So, some good stuff coming up. I was supposed to go to LA next week. Not going to be able to get down there. I wanted to watch some women's volleyball. Nebraska with Harper Murray is coming down to play UCLA and USC with Big Ten. And then sandwiched between those 2 days was USC South Carolina women's hoops.
Oh boy.
And I'm really depressed that I'm not going to be able to go. So I'll probably have to cover it from my living room, and I will be on the phone with my good buddy from USC, the SID, to see what I could do to get some interviews. So, yeah. But Olivier Roux, if you haven't seen him, make sure you look for Florida on any televised games. Number two. Speaking of Juju Watkins, been covering this girl since her debut. And where was her debut? Here in Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. When they tipped off, I believe it was against Ohio State, and J.C. Sheldon was in that game. And that was also the first time we saw Aaliyah Gales from Spring Valley. For those unaware of who Aaliyah is, Aaliyah was the young lady who was a McDonald's All-American, and she was at a party in North Las Vegas, and her body was riddled with bullets from a drive-by, and she recovered, and I believe she transferred to TCU. Excuse me. So, but Juju Watkins, who will be sitting out this season after injuring her knee in March Madness, has invested in the NWSL's Boston legacy. We were talking off the air. It's just amazing. One of the faces of college basketball, I firmly believe if she was not injured, she probably would emerge as the lone face. I mean, and that's with all due respect to the likes of Lauren Betts over at UCLA and AZ Fudd at Connecticut and a number of names. But she is the first college athlete to invest directly in a pro women's sports team. That's impressive.
It's a whole new era, my friend. It's a whole new era where you can have – look, it doesn't matter if it's male or female. Just any college athlete investing in any professional sports league. Like, even 5 years ago, it'd be like, what? What are you talking about?
Right.
But this is, again – and by the way, I agree with you. If she was healthy, Not only that, I would even consider taking putting a little money down on USC to win the national championship.
Oh, I would still do it.
Yeah,
because the odds are so deep.
They're so low now.
But what they don't understand is, I'm not saying Jazzy Davidson is Juju Watkins, but Jazzy Davidson was the number one player in the nation. She's going to USC. She's going to fill in. They also got, Saniya Hall, I believe her name. But she was the MVP of the 19 and under World Cup team that won in Czechia. So they've landed some big names, and USC is going to be a threat down the stretch with, by the way, Lindsey Gottlieb, a very good basketball coach. So, yeah, Juju Watkins joins a deep roster of celebrity investors in the ownership group led by Jennifer Epstein, including Olympic gold medalist Allie Raisman, actress Elizabeth Banks, WNBA star Aaliyah Boston, Chicago Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, and Boston Celtics general manager Brad Stevens. No financial details were released. Boston was awarded the NWSL's 15th franchise in 2023. They'll start play next year. Epstein's group, along with NWSL club Bay FC, started play this year, paid a $53 million expansion fee.
Oof.
So NWSL team values have soared in the last 2 years. Denver secured the league's 16th expansion slot for a $110 million fee. Wake up, folks. Women's sports has definitely here. It's here and it's arrived. And mark my words. Volleyball is the next big thing. And so we already have a pro sports league, mm-hmm. but this girl, Harper Murray, who signed a big lucrative deal with Adidas when she graduates from Nebraska, she's going to help elevate that to the next level. Number one. All right, so J.K. Dobbins, did you see his tweet?
Sure did.
He's not happy whatsoever with hip drop tackles. Dobbins is reportedly meeting with specialists to determine the severity, but his frustration is clear. As we've seen before, hip drop tackles rarely get flagged in real time, though the league often addresses them later in the week through fines. Now, I found an interview with J.J. Watt. Now, disclaimer, this is almost 2 years old, this interview. But now, as it's progressed, people understand what it is, but I think there are still people out there that when you bring this up, this is their thought process.
JJ, what is a hip drop tackle?
No idea. If you ask me to pull up videos and show you what a hip drop tackle was, or if you ask me to demonstrate a hip drop tackle, I wouldn't be able to do it. I don't understand. I'm flustered. I'm just angry about it.
Flustered, angry about it. So I get J.K. Dobbins' take, but at the same time, if you look at it, they're avoiding headshots, they're evading high tackles, so they're going down low, and what's happening is they're dropping to the hips, they're twisting, and they're pulling them down on their own legs, and the defender's landing on the feet. At some point, it's almost as if you're going to have to turn this into you got to shove them so hard and push them over.
Well, I was going to say, there's only so many things you can outlaw, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you take away the heads, you go also to, like, wide receivers. Remember what after all the hit-to-the-head stuff where there were a lot of knee injuries because players were going for low shots, and then, look, it's still football. It's right. Still a contact sport. There's still a lot of risk. Also, too, we saw earlier this week, Frankie Louvu was initially suspended for hip-drop tackles. The NFL ended up changing that into a massive fine as well, $100,000 fine for Louvu for his third offense this year.
Yeah, it's going to be I think that they're going to address this, and I'm sure there are going to be enough complaints at some point where this is going to have to be brought up with the rules committee. I mean, it's already obviously part of it, but it's going to be have to address a little bit more serious. All right. Hey, Las Vegas. Seton from the Dan Patrick Show will be driving the Mako van to Las Vegas on Monday, November 17th around 8 a.m. Meet him and score some free swag at 4475 Spring Mountain and Road Mako Store. Again, November 17th around 8 a.m. 4475 Spring Mountain Road. Also, go to winwithmako.com to see if you're an instant winner. Winwithmako.com.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Once again, Cofield and Company on a Friday. It is the Battleborn Hour. We welcome in Reno. Hope y'all are doing great up there. Reno and Southern Nevada for Cofield and Company. Battleborn Injury Lawyer, 766-1400, dial 775 766-1400 in the north. So we were just talking off the air. Very interesting. Jeff did some quick research. Quick. We were talking about NIL and, you know, some players that just missed out. Sabrina Ionescu, she was 1 year too late, or NIL was 1 year too late to the table. And Paul Skeens' name came up. And we were trying to figure out, where is he going to go? Where is he going to go? And I was like, we need to find an old video or one of those bio pages where they list their favorite snack, their favorite cheat food, their favorite baseball team growing up. And Paul, and Jeff, what'd you find?
The Los Angeles Angels for Paul Skeens.
Growing up, he was a fan of the Angels. That has to mean that he like was a fan of Trout. And,
he was.
And even who left the Cardinals? And
so Albert
Pujols for a little
Albert,
bit.
I mean, Torrey Hunter, too.
So can you imagine if Skeens says, okay, I'm going to sign with the Angels, and Shohei goes, well, I won you a couple, but I'm going back across town. Libby's coming with me. She's going to be on the beach. That would be wild, right? So NIL doing a lot of people right. Yeah, we'll wait to see where Paul Skeens ends up, because he's probably not going to be in Pittsburgh. Some excitement down in L.A., though, keeping it there. USC looking to keep their college football playoff hopes alive tonight. They host the Northwestern Wildcats in Big 10 action. What do you think?
So, let's start with Northwestern real quick, Willie. Northwestern's been a huge surprise. I thought they were going to be a 3, maybe even a 2-win team this year. And they're 5-3. Dave Braun has done a tremendous job with that team, where their only losses are at Tulane week 1. Nothing wrong with that. Oregon, nothing wrong with that. And they lost to the Huskers by a touchdown. They've beaten everyone
else.
They've
been competitive.
They've been competitive. All the Oregon game, even though they lost by 20, that was a tight-ish game until Oregon decided to start playing in the second half. This will not be a particularly easy game for USC if the Trojans start slow. But the one thing that I've loved with this USC team this year is they have been dominant at the Coliseum. They've been dominant. Now, you look at the 4 games at home, Missouri State in their first game as an FBS team. Okay, they beat them by 60, can't read much into that. They destroyed old friend Clay Helton by 39 in week 2 with Georgia Southern. All right, that's a little bit better. They beat Michigan State by 14. That was kind of a weird game. USC, even though it was only 2 scores, USC was always in control at that game. And they pounded Michigan in the Coliseum. That game was never competitive. They won by 18. And look, at home, Jaden Maiava has been as good as any quarterback in the country. He's completing over 70% of his passes at home. He's 76 of 100 this year, Willie. That's pretty darn good. 11 touchdowns to 1 interception. I know the college ratings are ridiculous, but 211 passer rating. I know they do it completely different in the NFL, but he has been as good as any quarterback in the country in home games this year. And if he continues that form, I expect USC to win. 14 is a lot of points to cover. I think, honestly, it could land right on 14. It wouldn't shock me. But the key for USC at this point, just keep this thing rolling into next week, where you get Iowa at home. And if you win that game, you're basically in a scenario of like, all right, we upset the Ducks at Odson. We're going to the college football playoff at 10-2.
And here's one of the things that I've kept an eye on this year more than I have in the past, is the discipline with certain teams.
Mm-hmm.
Northwestern ranks 6th in the nation with fewest penalties per game, only 3.75 penalties per game. 3rd in the nation with only 28.5 penalty yards per game. You know what that's helped them do? Rank 6th in the nation in time of possession.
Mm-hmm.
So when your offense is dominated by a rushing attack, which ranks 29th, 187.9 yards per game, all of a sudden you're running a ball control offense, you're controlling the clock, you're not bringing a lot of penalties on, you're able to run the ball and not get called for holding, right? Because This is what you do. On the other side of the ball, you mentioned Jaden Mayava. You mentioned the passing game. Oh, by the way, Northwestern's defense is allowing 165.1 yards per game, 13th fewest in the nation. They have the 29th best pass efficient defense. All of a sudden, that 14 points looks very, very attractive. The road dog tonight in Big Ten play. Other games tonight. Houston -1.5 at Central Florida. I was a little confused by this one. They always say, well, ask yourself, if it looks confusing, then why is the number so low? But I actually think the Cougars are going to spank Central Florida. Why? Because of South Florida's win last night.
Just bouncing back from last week is so important for Houston. Because look, they finally got the big – they wanted Arizona State. Yeah, I know that was Levitt's last game before he left, before Sims took over in the fourth quarter. But West Virginia is not a program in total transition, was 0-4 in the Big 12. It was 45-35 in favor of the Mountaineers. Mountaineers were more than 10 points better in that game than Houston. Willie Fritz is too good of a coach to allow his team to have two straight stinkers in a row. I don't think Central Florida is really all that good. I like Houston tonight as a 1.5-point favorite. I expect them to handle their business, go on the road and win, get to 8-2, and look, they need a boatload of help in order to make the Big 12 title game. But, hey, they could very easily get it down the stretch with the way BYU's schedule looks, and also the fact that I'm still not fully convinced that Cincinnati's all that good.
The other game tonight, Tulane at Memphis. Memphis laying 3.5. I do have an opinion on this one.
So, interesting note that I just saw on social that Brendan Lewis is banged up here. He is questionable for this game. He was limping coming off the bus, according to reports out of Memphis. That is scary, especially with how that offense is built around him just being this big, hard-to-tackle guy for Memphis. And Tulane's just coming off just getting annihilated their last time out.
By Texas San Antonio, which was embarrassing.
And especially after watching UTSA last night.
Yes.
Not good at all. I'm steering clear of this just because of the Lewis injury. If Lewis was healthy, I'd look to Memphis. But, boy, I was not a huge Jake Retzlaff fan at BYU. I thought he got a little bit overhyped there. I think he's been a little bit overhyped at Tulane. But, boy, that Lewis injury is more likely than not going to play a big role tonight.
It could. The Tigers are 8-1. They're 4-1 in league play, tied with two others. They're one half game back of Navy. And on the heels of everyone is Tulane, like you said, which makes this game much more serious for both teams. Lewis, he practiced on Monday, so I do expect him to start. Now, this offense ranks 12th nationally with 37.3 points per game, fueled by the 22nd best rushing attack. They're rushing for more than 200 yards per game. That's not just Lewis. So if he's not mobile enough, and they got to push on the rushing game to sort of pulverize that front line, soften it up a little bit, maybe get the secondary to collapse and open things up for Lewis to connect here and there. I'm going to lean on Memphis in this one. Tigers 8-1 straight up and against the spread. They've covered each one of their wins by an average of more than 10 points. So they've gotten through the season. I just think that they've found their way through adversity enough. And if they have to overcome it, they've been practicing all week. I think Lewis being on the field Monday, 2 days after the injury, or 2 or 3 days. But they play Saturday or Friday? I can't remember.
They played Saturday last
Saturday.
Week.
So 2 days later, he's practicing again. So I'm gonna lean on it mainly because I think I've always been of the belief that when a team sees how the opposition plays the night before, or you know, whether it's the playoffs, whether it's whatever it may be, a conference foe, I think that fuels some emotion. So I think that South Florida sent a message last night to fuel these teams tonight.
Well, and also, too, Memphis is the team that is in the initial college football playoff. Even though they were unranked by the committee, they are the highest-rated group of six teams. So I'm very, very curious to see. By the way, if Memphis wins this game tonight, Willie, they're going to go to ECU next week and they're going to win. And then they play Navy the week after that. I don't like how the midshipmen will match up with this Memphis team. So you win tonight against Tulane, 11-1, AAC title game in your house on virtue of that head-to-head win over South Florida. The playoff berth is yours if you can find a way to win your next four.
All right, once again, it is the Battleborn era, Battleborn hour, not era. Reno and Las Vegas, brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Don't forget tomorrow, throw the flag at the Golden Circle Sportsbook at Treasure Island. Every Saturday morning, Doug Douglas and Q Myers getting you going. They do it live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook inside the TI from 9 to 11. They get you prepared for a full weekend of college and pro football action, highlighting and preparing you for the biggest games. And that includes possible interviews with some UNLV insiders. We'll see if they catch up with Cofield tomorrow. He's up there for the game, Rebels and Colorado State, as we mentioned and talked about earlier. College football experts, NFL insiders, and more. Of course, Q will probably be giving you some insight on last night's debacle in Denver, where the Raiders lost 10-7. We're going to talk more about that with Ryan McFadden. But tomorrow, Doug and Q will give you the betting lines from Treasure Island, everything that you need to know from the sports book, where you can place your bets. That's Doug and Q every Saturday morning from the Golden Circle Sportsbook at the TI for another season of Throw the Flag. Have you been there?
Of course.
Been down there?
It's a great setup.
The menu is phenomenal. James and I did some grubbing down there a couple of years ago. The breakfast menu is wild. And the best thing is it's free parking.
Well, that's the best by far.
You park, you go in, take the elevator. It's right there. It's easy access. So the Golden Circle Sportsbook and plenty of TVs and great atmosphere, great ambiance. So, yeah, make sure you get down there and join Doug and Q. Q's always down to – he likes mixing and mingling with everybody, as does Doug, but – Doug's low-key. Q likes to get out there and talk Raiders, talk shop with everyone, so I'm sure that he'll be ready to discuss what took place last night. We got some big things coming up because it's a big day today. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. Coming up later in this hour, we got Chuck Esposito from the Treasure Island Sportsbook and the station's app. And then, of course, later on, we're going to talk to Ryan McFadden from ESPN to talk about the Raiders. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, it is Cofield and Company. Ryan and Jeff Parles bringing it in. We're getting there. We're getting there, my friend. Approaching the weekend. We got football coming up. There's football going on right now. Harvard just punched it in on Columbia. I don't know what you had on this one. But, I mean, listen, with everything that's going on, knowing that's Meadow Soprano's alma mater, there's no telling what hokey stuff is taking place. Plus, we got college basketball, so we got action going everywhere tonight. But, you know what today is, Jeff?
What is it, Willie?
It is National Jersey Day, and I'm not talking about the Sopranos and New Jersey. It is a day when sports fans wear their favorite jerseys. The day was started by the National Football League Players Association to bring fans together and to build a sense of community. Now, the way that they say to observe it, though, is to celebrate the day by wearing a jersey of your favorite sports player. Wear it to work or school, wear it when you go out, or even if you stay at home. A football jersey is most fitting because it's in the fall, but feel free to wear whatever jersey you want. First of all, are you a jersey guy?
Yes. The problem is my favorite football team is the same as Cofield's, the Jets. I now have no current players after the fire sale that happened on Tuesday.
Well, it's okay. You can wear like a Joe Klecko or Vinny Testaverde
So
Joe Namath.
I have Curtis Martin,
okay,
which is a good one. Mm. Nick Mangold jersey. Of course, we lost him too soon a few weeks ago with the kidney disease. I have a Namath, so that's good. And then at least for my favorite baseball team, I have at least a few current ones right now, which is good.
Okay,
Juan Soto is going to be a Met for a while.
So I used to have jerseys hanging in the closet. I had an old AFL jersey when the Las Vegas Gladiators were here.
Nice.
I had a couple of Cowboys jerseys. I had a Bills one only because I wanted one when Terrell Owens went there, and my stepsister got me one. But now I just have two, and one of them's not really a jersey. It's built like a jersey, but it says Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I'm wearing,
yep.
That my son got me because he knows what Kobe Bryant meant to me. So it looks like a Dodger jersey, right? It's built. It's got the Dodger font. It says Mamba on the front, number 8, and on the back, Bryant with number 24, which I love. When you were a kid, did you have jerseys?
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of them, even for teams I didn't root for. I had a lot of them.
My son was a jersey guy. Yeah. He just wanted them for the look to match whatever shoes mm-hmm. he had. I wasn't allowed to wear jerseys. I had no jerseys when I was a kid. And when the 2 years I got to play Pop Warner, every Friday, the kids would show up at school with their Pop Warner jerseys. Not me. I wasn't allowed to wear my jerseys to school.
Oh, man.
And I only had the two jerseys, and that was it. I never had any other jerseys until I was able to start getting my own jerseys. So, yeah. So there you go. I have, and then I played softball, so I had softball jerseys.
There we go.
So, James, get on the mic.
Yes, sir.
Are you a jersey guy?
I'm not really a big jersey guy. I really didn't grow up with jerseys or anything like that, so, yeah.
Well, yeah, you're from Baltimore. There's nothing to cheer for there. Well, the Ravens, right? When you were a young lad in Baltimore, weren't they coming up? Terrell Suggs days, no? Ray
yes,
Lewis?
Yes, yes, definitely. I definitely do have some Baltimore Ravens jerseys back at home somewhere.
I think you should get, like, a Ravens-themed baseball jersey, but it says, like, this says Mamba, but it'd say, like, in the Orioles font, and it would say The Wire.
That would be classic.
Right? We were just talking about how James is from Baltimore. Yeah. So, yeah, but we're still trying to dig in the roots of James's background. We have feds looking into it. We think that the storyline and the manuscript was of The Wire was built around James Davis III. So that remains to be seen, of course. Well, you don't know if Barksdale is James Davis, but we will find out. We're going to find out a lot more also from Chuck Esposito, as it is Treasure Island Day here with Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas during the Battle Born Hour. Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 766-1400. Dial 775-766-1400 in the north for all of your legal questions involving personal injury. The Battle Born Injury Lawyer Hour with Cofield and Company and ESPN Las Vegas. Coming up next, Chuck Esposito from the Treasure Island Sportsbook and Stations app.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, let's bring in Chuck Esposito from the Treasure Island Sportsbook. It is Friday. That means it's all about the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Chuck, what's happening, my friend?
All good. Just another busy weekend. This is one of those times of year where you've got so many different sports going on, guys, that there's really no downtime on our side. It's really one of the busiest times over the next month with college football, pro football, hockey, college basketball, pro basketball, just a lot of good stuff going on. So a fun time from our side of the counter.
This is the time of the year where guys like you have to watch your P's and Q's with the sharps, which is why we've always seen limits in college basketball, especially with the mid-majors, because there can be some soft lines out there at times, only because you're focused so much on college, and all of a sudden you're thrust into – you know, certain games, certain matchups, and you're just going off of possibly KenPom, power ratings, what you have. It's a tricky time of the year for you.
It absolutely is. I think when you talk about the bigger sports or the main sports, the numbers are a little bit more close to the vest. We're able to really evaluate those numbers, have our own set of power numbers, really kind of discuss what we're going to do with each game. But there's so many college basketball games now that we book, and you know, we read a lot too and do the research, but you until they actually take the court, you don't know sometimes how good or maybe not as good as you thought some of these teams are. So I think when you look at some of these smaller schools, you're moving these games a lot faster. You might be moving them a lot more aggressively and then maybe moving them back quicker as well. But a little bit of trial error this early in the season, but absolutely right. There is just a lot going on for us, but it's really a fun time. I mean, when the calendar turns to November with so much stuff going on, it really is a fun time for us. And with the app, STN Sports, it really brings the sports book to you. So we know so many of our guests are busy this time of year and hunting to-do lists and Thanksgiving coming up and hanging Christmas lights and doing other things. So having the app really is so great to bring the sports book to our guests.
Well, and Chuck, I have the app up in front of me, and let's look at this weekend in the National Football League. And, hey, we get to get up super early on Sunday these next 2 weeks. We get the Germany game with the Falcons taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Colts look like they're going to have Sauce Gardner after that mega trade earlier in the week. Chuck, right now you guys have the Colts is a 6.5-point favorite in this one over in Berlin.
Yeah, the number actually crept up, guys. We were at 6, went to 6.5 after the trade. I think you look at the Colts coming off a loss to the Steelers, which was, I think, a bad spot for them. Steelers had lost the week before against the Packers. You hate to lose back-to-back home games. They actually were able to win that game. Falcons, I thought, played really well earlier in the season. They had that big win against the Bills on prime time. But, man, when they're outside, they're just not the same team. I think for whatever reason, they get away from Bijan at times. If he's my running back, he's carrying the ball 20 to 25 times at least every game. They've got some good receivers. But this is a Colts team that our bettors and our guests seem to be backing every single week. 68% of the tickets are on the Colts right now, guys.
Next up, another NFL game here. Let's go to the battle of the teams that wear purple. Minnesota, you know, I know they were a smaller underdog than Carolina was last week. That stunned me more that Minnesota went to Detroit and won. J.J. McCarthy looked great. They looked to make it two in a row against the Ravens. Fully engaged with Lamar back last week in a blowout win over Miami. Ravens are four-point favorites here, Chuck.
Yeah, not quite as large of a ticket disparity here. You've got 59% of the tickets on the Ravens here. Game has gone from 3.5 to 4. I thought the Vikings had a huge win last week against Detroit. Although they're in last place in the NFC North, you can still make a case that maybe that is the toughest division in football. Defensively, they haven't quite been as good as they were last year, but I think getting McCarthy back and kind of solidified in the offense, I look for their defense to be better. And when you've got that crowd clapping and hearing skull going on in that dome, still a tough place to play. So I think we're going to need the Vikings, but I don't think it's a bad spot to be in because I think there is some value there with them, especially if this number goes above 4.5.
Let's go to the game of the week, and it might be a different spelling of the word week for this one. Browns road favorite at the Jets, Chuck. I mean, look, the Jets had a big fire sale earlier this week. Sauce Gardner, a Colt, Quinnen Williams, a Cowboy now. I mean, it's a rookie quarterback on a bad team as a road favorite here, Chuck. Browns laying 2.
It'd be hard for me to lay 2, guys. It did open up. The Jets a 2-point favorite, so it totally flipped because of the moves that the Jets made. Jets, you know, they get their win, then they go on their bye, and then they have the fire sale, as you said. So kind of curious to see how they'd respond here, but I still think they have a lot of talented players on that team. You still have Hall. You still have Wilson on offense. You hope Justin Fields continues to take some of those next steps. They didn't get rid of a lot of defensive players that people thought they would in Jeremiah Johnson. I still think there's value with the Jets here. I think it's tough to make this Cleveland Brown team a favorite on the road. I know there was some 2.5s out there earlier in the week before after the trades happened, but it's starting to come back this way a little bit more toward the Jets. I think there's some value with the Jets getting points at home because it's the Cleveland Browns.
Once again, speaking to the big boss, Chuck Esposito from Treasure Island Sportsbook, joining us here on Cofield & Company.
Going to another one, and this is, to me, Chuck, this is the best game. This is the best game of Sunday for me, and that's the New England Patriots on the road at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucs have a ton of injuries, but they are off a bye. Patriots fortunate to get out with a win last week against the Atlanta Falcons. Chuck, you guys have a juice 2.5 on the Bucs here.
Hey, I'm glad you said the best game of Sunday because I think the best game of the week, and I'm sure we'll get to it, is the Monday night game between the Eagles and Packers. But I think the bookmakers, I think we're showing everybody how much respect there is for the New England Patriots. We opened the game 2.5. It hasn't moved, although it is juiced 2.5. It hasn't got to that 3 number. I don't think I see a 3 anywhere in the industry. So this Patriots, arguably one of the biggest surprises in the league. Drake May's been great. The young receivers have been good. I think they're going to get a lot more Travion Henderson in this game. Defensively, they've been good. And the Bucs with Baker Mayfield just seem to produce offensively, regardless of who's there. But Bucky Irving now, I think this will be 5 straight weeks that he's missed. You know, Godwin's banged up. We know Evans is. Abuka's going to have to step up here big time. You have a high total of 48. But no movement at all in the number, and only 56% of the tickets are on the Bucs. So I think it shows you from our guests and the sports bettors how much respect there is out there right now for the New England Patriots.
What a tough game, and you just kind of outlined it, why it is such a tough game, and the bettors are still, again, respecting New England, haven't lost since week 3 against Pittsburgh. All right, let's go to Northern California.
And they do have, guys, I don't mean to interrupt, but they have probably the most favorable schedule in the AFC for the remainder of the year. So I think you look at that, and this is probably one of their tougher games. They did win at Buffalo on primetime, so they host the Bills, so that'll be a critical game as well because you happen to beat the Bills the second same time, you really are in a great spot as far as winning the division. But of what they have left this season, this is probably one of their three remaining tough games, and it's against the Bucs in Tampa.
After Sunday, Chuck, the Jets twice, Cincinnati, the Giants, Buffalo goes to Foxborough at Baltimore, and the Dolphins. Pretty darn
good.
Like I said,
Baltimore, Buffalo, and Tampa, those are the three games that I think will define the Patriots season the rest of the way and will define if they're the number one team in the NFC East or if somehow Buffalo is able to overtake them.
Take two out of three, you're going to have a real shot to steal that division away for sure.
Well, two out of three, one of those two better be against Buffalo because if Buffalo wins that game, I think it's going to be really, really close the rest of the season.
Chuck, going to Northern California. Rams, of course, lost to the Niners earlier this year in L.A. Again, Niners just continue to win despite all the injuries, but the bettors like the Rams. It's up to five now, Chuck.
I can tell you they liked them a lot when these two teams met in L.A. as well, and it was one of the better outcomes for us. I think if memory serves me correct, it was a Thursday night game. A tremendous outcome for our side of the counter with the Niners winning outright. This game opened 3.5, guys. It's up to 5 right now. Ticket count, 65% of the tickets are on the Rams. The Niners just seem like every single week they're just beat up. There's another injury there, a critical injury. I have to think at some point it catches up with them. I think it's probably one of the best jobs that Shanahan has done. You look at the Rams, Chargers, and Seahawks all kind of bunched up with really good records, all with 6 wins, really tough division. But we are going to be Niner fans when this game kicks off as one of the late games on Sunday afternoon.
The other L.A. team, Sunday night, the Chargers, no more Joe Alt, who, of course, is out for the year now after suffering a leg injury again this past weekend. Rashawn Slater hasn't played at all this year. But, Chuck, still 3 in this one. It is juiced to the Steelers getting the 3 for this one on Sunday night, where you have to imagine it's going to be 70-30 Steeler fans at least in this game at SoFi.
Oh, there's no question. That's one of the drawbacks, I think, for the Chargers is that it is not a true home stadium. For me, and you guys could disagree, the listeners could, but I think it's a critical game for both these two teams. I think when you're looking at potentially a wild card spot, I think in the Steelers' case, you probably have to win the North to be a playoff team. I think, you know, the Ravens, you look at their schedule, the second half is much better. They're getting a lot of their guys healthy right now. Steelers, I know they tried to acquire Shaheed, weren't that lucky. I thought they needed a complimentary piece to DK Metcalf. Chargers just been decimated with injuries. That injury to Alt really hurts. Their running back room, I thought they'd be more active at the deadline and try to get a running back. I know Achane's name was mentioned. Tony Pollard's name was mentioned. I thought they would go out and get another running back, which they didn't do. Kind of a tough call of who we're going to need when this game kicks off. Ticket count only favors the Chargers slightly right now, guys. But I think in the whole scheme of things in the AFC, this is a really big game for both teams. But personally, I think it's a little bit bigger game for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Chuck Esposito, Treasure Island Sportsbook. We do it every single Friday. Golden Circle Sportsbook tomorrow, of course, is Throw the Flag with Doug Douglas and Q Myers. All right, let's talk about Monday night. Are we watching or are we going to be watching a preview of the NFC Championship?
You know, I probably would have said that maybe a month ago. But you look at the Packers, and something still seems to be off to me. I know you get Micah Parsons, although he didn't have a great game this past week. But you think about the Packers, and I know it's a tough league, and we've seen more parity this year, and week in and week out, anybody can probably beat anybody. But you have losses to the Cleveland Browns, the Carolina Panthers, and a tie in a game that you probably should have lost to the Dallas Cowboys. So the Packers sit at 5-2-1, but something seems off to me offensively. You now lose Tucker Kraft for the year. They don't have that alpha dog at wide receiver. Defensively, they've been some games really good, some games not. This game has come crashing down from 2.5 to 1. My guess is we are going to be Green Bay Packer fans at home on Monday Night Football. And maybe you're right. Maybe it is a preview of the NFC Championship game. But to me, over the last month, the Packers haven't played that way.
All right, we got about a minute left. We're going to be hearing from Matt Neverett and Steve Cofield in just a minute as they break down UNLV and Colorado State. Let's talk about that game. The line seems a little bit – are we getting a discount because of UNLV's defense?
I think so. I think at this point we know they can score with anybody in the country, but defensively, wow. I mean, it's tough. This game opened up 6. It's gone down to 4.5. The ticket count from our guest guys will still really favor – UNLV. But when you look at some of the sharp money over the last month or so in games that has come in, it has all been against UNLV because of their Achilles heel, which is on the defensive side of the ball.
Real quick, Chuck, tell us about the app.
App's great. You still have the up to a $50 no-worry wager. So you hit that no-worry wager on the game of your choice, up to $50, you win, great. You lose, we're going to put $50 right back in your account. There's some great features on it as far as the live wagering aspect, the cash-out feature. It's just a lot of fun to get that app. We love when guests come out, enjoy everything we have to offer at all of our properties, guys. But STN Sports, it really does bring the sportsbook to you.
All right, Chuck, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, guys. Good luck this week. Look forward to it. Thank you.
All right, Chuck Esposito from Treasure Island Sportsbook and the station's app. Make sure you download it. And make sure you join Doug Douglas and Q Myers out there at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar Reno. We wish you well. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday. We'll be back in a minute with Matt and Steve.